So, welcome back to our talks. Now a second talk with Astrid, and she wants to present us the MapBender GeoPortal framework. Mm-hmm.
Hello, here at FrostCon, second day at FrostCon. I would like to talk to you about MapBender and how you can create web mapping applications, GeoPortal applications with the framework MapBender. My name is Astrid Emde. I'm from the MapBender team. I'm working here in Bonn at the Ware Group. Ware Group is developing MapBender. The most of the code comes from Ware Group here and my colleagues. I'm active in the FOSGS local chapter of the OSGEO, the German language local chapter, and I'm OSGEO charter member since 2010 and involved in the OSGEO project. I'm already also involved in OSGEO Live project, and I always do the job and put the actual MapBender version on OSGEO Live to provide it for every new version. So, two slides about Ware Group and what we do. We build up GeoPortal application with open source software. So we use a lot of the software of the OSGEO stack, and we provide MapBender application. MapBender is a project of OSGEO 2. It's incubated in 2006 as a first OSGEO project. And here you can see different MapBender solutions, where communes or cities provide their data through a GeoPortal framework. We have a project which is called Meldermax, where you can add ideas or problems to a map, and the information will go to the commune and they can react on it. We have a mobile maps offline client solution, which Arne will introduce later. And we have a Metador project, which is a metadata editor for metadata, which are important for setting up Inspire services. And we do consulting, training, we are providing solutions with OpenStreetMap and more. We are a company with more than 30 people in Bonn, Berlin and Freiburg. But let's start with the MapBender project. As we heard before, we had this famous OSGEO code sprint in 2016. And here on this slide, you can see Andrei Oblivantsev. He is the architect and the main developer of the MapBender project. And we are involved in the OSGEO community. We are involved in FOSGS conference as well, so if you want to meet us at a conference, come to the next FOSGS conference in Bonn next year, and you can visit workshops about MapBender or presentations. And you can meet us at the FOSGS hacking events in the Linux Hotel and meet MapBender developer there. We also have presentations from the MapBender team at the TBAV portal. So if you want to see videos or introductions about MapBender, you can have a look there. But now let's have a look at MapBender and what MapBender does and why it may be interesting for you. MapBender is a WebGS client suite with an administration web interface. And the nice thing is that you can create GeoPortal applications without writing a single line of code. So if you are not a programmer, it may be interesting for you to use MapBender, because you can do everything with an administration interface, which you can use in the browser. You can create and maintain an OWS repository. It's a repository for your services. We handle WMS services. And you can distribute and configure services among applications. So you can create one or many applications, and in every application you can decide which service you want to publish. You can create users and groups and give the users and groups access to your applications and services. So we have three components. We have applications, services, and roles. So let's see how MapBender looks like. This is a demo application. If you install MapBender, we already provide demo applications that are ready to use. This is a desktop application that you it's an application that you can use on the desktop. We have a mobile application as well that you can use, and you can copy it and configure it, change it a bit, and then take it for your needs. If you want to get to know more about MapBender, the easiest way is to have a look at our gallery. On the website of MapBender, we have a gallery where many solutions are provided here, and you can see how different MapBender can be configured. One application that is referred in the gallery is Rio. It's called Raum Information System from Oberbergischer Kreis, which is close to Bonn. And they use MapBender since a long time already, and they have different applications for different needs. As you can see here, for Kultur und Tourismus or for Gesundheit, Social, Soziales und Pflege, so for health or for child and family, you have different applications with different information. This is how the application looks from Oberbergischer Kreis. So you see they have a very nice design, they have an overview map, they have a navigation scale bar, they have a layer tree where you can choose different information, and you have a toolbar at the top and a footer at the bottom where you can place elements. And the nice thing is that every application that you set up, you can configure it individually. It's like a toolbox that we give to you, and you can drag and drop the elements to the region that you want to have them. You have a scale selector, like you can see here. You can change the projection if you want to provide many projections in your application. You can provide many services in your application. The services, they bring along a legend, so you can show the legend of the services. And at the services, you also have a context menu, so you could change the opacity of the service or get information about the service or drag and drop it in the tree so you can put it to a different position. Then you have a redlining functionality where you can draw lines or polygons or texts, which you can see here in red. And this information you could print or make an image export and give it to maybe interested to your colleagues or so. This is only a temporary drawing that you can do, and if you want permanent information, want to provide permanent information, you could take the digitizer element, which I will show you later, to generate data. You can load WMS services. A WMS service is referred by an address, which is a GET capabilities address. And if you have a service which is not included in the portal already, you can load it afterwards and just use it in this session. Here you can see that you have a layer tree, and you have different buttons where you could switch to different functionalities in the side pane, we call it. And here you can see that we have a distance measurement tool that you can, element that you can use, or you could use the area measure tool. We have a print functionality that you can use. You can create your own print templates for different sizes that you want to print, and you can configure the form that you want to display you can configure the form individually and define the scales that you want to provide, or define whether you want a title column or not, or maybe a comment field, or whether the print can be rotated. And then you get a PDF that is printed. It could look like this, with a legend in this case, and with permanent information, but also with dynamic information like the scale or the date and the legend. You could provide a print that can be rotated. And here you see the rotated result. And this is how a template could look like. It's an OpenOffice Draw template and a PDF that you have to provide, and you can configure them as you want and then use them in MapBender. So let's have a look how an application can be set up. Not everyone can set up an application. First, you have to log in to MapBender. You have this login area, and after login, you have more functionality that you can use. And you can see that at the button at that application, you have more buttons that you can use. You could copy an application, or edit an application, or delete an application. And first thing is that we want to make a new application. So in the tree here, you can choose new application and create a new application, which is empty at the beginning. After you created the application, you want to add functionalities to the application. So you can add elements to this application. The first element that you may want to add is the map element, to provide a map where you can see your data. So you could add the map element, and you see every element is individual. So it has some select boxes or some input fields where you have to provide information. For the map element, you have to define the projection, you have to define the extent, you have to define the scales that you want to provide, and after you saved the map element, it is part of your content region. We saw in the applications that we have different regions. We have the toolbar, the side pane at the side, the content where the map is, and the footer. And to all these regions, you could add elements. As you see, it is a bit a long process if you would add every element on your own. So this is why we provide the demo application, where everything is already included, and maybe you can delete some of the functionality that you don't want. But if you start from scratch, you have only the map element, and if you have a look at your application, it will be empty because you didn't say the application which service should be shown. So the next step is to add a source, to load a WMS service with the get capabilities. You can load it to your repository. MapBender knows, after loading a service, all the information out of the get capabilities XML. MapBender gets information about the service and knows which layers are offered by the service, which extent is offered, which projections are supported. And then you can go back to your application and add the service to your application. First, you have to create a layer set. That's like a collection where you say, okay, in the main map, I would like to put these WMS in the main map, maybe for the overview. You make an own layer set, and like this, you can structure your services. After you created the layer set, you can add a service to this layer set, and you can configure the service. You can say, okay, this WMS should be activated on start, or only one layer should be activated, or it should have a transparency. You can define which image format to use, or which information format. So here you have different possibilities where you can decide how the service should be published in the application. And like this, you could add many services to your application and would get a map like this. One thing I didn't show you is how to add the overview map. So when I showed you the slides, we only had the map element, but there's a second element in the map, which you can here see at the button. That's the overview element, which was integrated too. So let's have a look how the user management is done. You can create new users and can create new groups. So you have to provide a name, an email address, and choose a password. You can provide more information in this profile form, and then you could create a group and add the new user to this group. If you want your application not to be public, you could give the access only to some people. You can provide an application for the public, so no login is needed. And this is done by is authenticated anonymously. As you can see here in the list, at the bottom there is this is authenticated anonymously, and that says that everyone can view this application. But if you, in this case, only want maybe Astrid Emde to get access to the application, you should delete this is authenticated anonymously and just provide it for the user that you want or for the group that you would like to give access to the application. That's how it works to ship applications to users and groups. Now I have some slides where I will show some more functionality. So we can provide an image export. So the map that you can see will be exported to a PNG or JPEG file. We have a POE function, a meeting point function, where you can click in the map, provide a text, and then a link will be generated. And this link can be opened in a browser. You can send this link via email to a colleague, and then when the person opens MapBender, it will start at this position. Here you can see an application where you get information about land use catastrophe. So there are many plans here in Gütersloh where you can see which land use plan is for the regions is active, and you can have you can use the gazetteer. It's an SQL search on a PostgreSQL database where you can navigate to your home and choose your house number and navigate to your place, and then you can get this is how the search router is configured. We have YAML configuration for some elements. So like this, you could configure the form of this search that you just saw. You can configure the part for the fields that you want to invent, and then you can configure how the result should be displayed. And on the other side, you have a solar search that you can use. There's an element that we provide where you can refer to a solar search service. And this is very fast. So in this case, you could search for a Bebauungsplan or maybe for an address or for parcels, and then the results will show up very fast. Here you can see a solar search in action at Metropole Ruhr. And in Metropole Ruhr, you have another element which is used. It's called Basor Switcher. You can provide buttons or a drop-down list which refer to services. So maybe if you don't want this layer tree element that we saw before with all the layers that you have to switch on and off, maybe it's easier to have this switcher to change, in this case, different auto photos from different generations. Back to the land use plans. Here's an example from Geoportal Lippe. They handle also these land use plans that we saw before in Gütersloh. They have information about the regions, and you can say Planzeichnung Laden, which will add another service to your application. So for the region that you are interested in, you can add more information to your application. Back to Gütersloh, they have another nice feature they have regions where discussions are going on about these land use plans. So they have these WMC functionality integrated, where you can save different configurations or different areas where you can configure the information, and then with this drop-down list you can jump to one or the other configuration and region. And so it's easy for the people to come to the place where the discussion is going on. So we have this WMC editor where you can configure the areas that you want to save. You can load them via this dialog or load them in the select box as we saw before. Here is Stadtplan Troisdorf, which is close to St. Augustine, where you can see a thematic layer tree, which has one more category that you can define. We saw these layer sets, and you can define layer sets and gather services, group them into different layer sets. You can style your application with an HTML element, so you can easily add images or links or descriptions, impressum or so via HTML, because in this HTML element you can easily write HTML text and then it will be added to your application. MapBender will show up in different designs. You can use the black design from our demo applications, but normally you would like to use your corporate design, and this can be done via defining CSS style. The concept is that you override the CSS style that MapBender brings with himself, and you override it with your own CSS configuration. We have a mobile template as well, so you, after installation, you can use this mobile template and provide your own services in the mobile template. We have a digitizer where you can edit data and create data. Here you can see a tree cadastra, which has a very complex form. The tree is only a point, but the information that is belongs to the tree is very complex. And the digitizer is configured via YAML as well, so you can define how the table should look like, with where you can make the selection for the object. You have different geometry types that are supported. You have different functionality for each geometry type that you can use. Every element that you can use in MapBender is described in the MapBender documentation. That's a link to the MapBender documentation. And we have a look behind the screen, you see here which components MapBender is made of. We are MIT licensed. We use the Symfony 2 PHP framework, which brings a lot of modules that we can use from scratch. We don't have to do it on our own. We use OpenLayers as a map client. At the moment we use OpenLayers 2, but we are discussing and doing our first steps with integrating OpenLayers 4. We use MapQuery, jQuery, and you need a database where you can store all the information that you configure in the administration backend, and here you have different possibilities that you can use. At the moment we have the 3.63 version, that is the actual version. I don't want to go into detail about all these points. We are working, or you have this 3.061 version on OSGeo Live. So if you want to try MapBender out, you can download OSGeo Live 11, which is an actual version, and MapBender will be part of OSGeo Live, and you can use it without problem. We have MapBender on MS4W as well. That's a project which is called Map Server for Windows, And you can download Map Server for Windows, which will integrate Map Server, Apache, PHP, and more projects. And one of the projects that you can use there is MapBender. We have a Docker image for MapBender. This is provided by Arne, who is here as well. So you could ask the MapBender a Docker image if you would like to. And here you have a slide where you can see who is involved. So there are many people of the work group team who are running the MapBender project. Axel Schäfer, our colleague, is a new chair since a few months. Then Andriy Oblivantsev, you saw already. He is the architect, and we have a project steering committee, which meets in regularly sequences and discuss about MapBender. So we have activities in the team, we have regular meetings, we have face-to-face meetings as we are all working in Bonn. We are talking in German, so in the incubation process of the OSGEO project, it says you should have an open discussion in English and people should get involved. So we have to work on this maybe a bit more and be more transparent. We have the code on GitHub and we have a ticket system there. So if you find bugs or have suggestions, you can provide them there. We have many developers, many users. We have a mailing list where you can get in touch with us. And we want to work on re-incubation. As you saw sometimes on the slides, I said MapBender or MapBender 3. So MapBender 3 was a redevelopment of the MapBender project, where we integrated Symfony and OpenLayers 2. And we didn't make a check whether we still follow all the OSGEO rules. So maybe it would be worth to have another look and make a re-incubation. If you want to have a look on the map, we have a user reference map where you can see MapBender users worldwide, and you could add your location if you are using MapBender. And we are working on the next version. It's version 3.0.7 that we are working on. This will be a feature release. It will come soon in the next months, and there will be improvements in translations because we had a translation sprint at the last Phosphor G conference. We want to support UTF-GRID, so you can have tooltips when you go over POEs, for example. There will be a tooltip that can appear. We want to support LDAP in that version directly via Symfony. Ask Arne again. And there are many improvements for the digitizer, and some more elements and functionality will come. So one is editing data without geometry. The Query Builder is a new project that was reinvented. We have a tool where you can pick on click or zoom to a coordinate, which is a nice functionality. And we started already with OpenLayers 4 support. So we want to add a new map element or work on all the elements to support OpenLayers 4. We want to adopt or write existing elements, so they will support the new OpenLayers version. One thing we want to make sure is that MapBender will be always updatable. So if we do this big step, your applications should still work. And then there's a project we will hear about our offline clients in the next presentation. And there's a project where you can export information and data from a MapBender client and then download it and use it in the offline client. So here you get an impression who the MapBender developers are. There's a picture from our company at Wergroup with the MapBender developers. There are pictures from the code sprint. So if you are interested and would like to get involved, you are welcome. if you want to try a Mapbender without installation, you can do it on our demos. And thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you for your talk. My typical question, are there any further questions?
So yeah, it's a very nice tool. I really love it. I have used, I think, Mapbender in some 10 to 15, I mean, not use as in I didn't install it, mm-hmm. but I've seen them in many government places. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that is Mapbender. I can recognize it from your screenshots. Mm-hmm. But I have a question or observation. Why are the projects looking so old? Like they come from the 90s or something?
You thought that the projects that I showed are looking so old?
Not even that, even the other projects, mm-hmm. most of them. But I can see that the stack is Mapbender behind. But most of them are old. Maybe it's because they use older WMS or something like that.
You have to make a difference whether the map looks old or the framework looks old.
The framework also looks old, but yes. I'm not talking about the framework.
You're talking about the maps, and they look old, yeah, okay. So this is independent of Mapbender, so it's a question of the provider of the services, how they are styled their maps. Okay. Maybe they should improve it.
Like, do you offer anything like default OSM or... For example, we also have this OpenStreetMap Germany, mm-hmm. which has more clearer...
The MapNIC style you are talking about.
Do you offer any defaults, like on the default map, just you give OSM as a default? Or
no, we have, in the demo application, we have an OSM service as well. This is a MapNIC OSM service, but it's not up to date. Because we only provided to have some data in the demo applications, but as a service from Workgroup, we provide to create for you an OSM MapNIC WMS if you would like to get that service. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And the second one. Second one was also about the framework. It also looks old. Mm-hmm. You can see that you are using OpenLayers. Mm-hmm. You haven't used Leaflet. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have your own reasons, probably, for that.
Yeah. At the moment, we use OpenLayers 2.
So which is more old.
More old, yeah. Since many years, OpenLayers 3 and now 4 is
because is most on the of your maps, when you try to open them on a mobile phone, I don't know how they look. I'm pretty sure they don't look good. Mm-hmm. Especially maybe. The portal ones. When you try to open this portal.
Yeah. The portal ones, they don't look good on a mobile phone. Yeah. They are not usable on a mobile phone. They are not responsive yet, so we should work on a responsive design. At the moment, you have to define an application for the desktop or for using on mobile devices. But yeah, there are many tasks that we should work on, like
because
more modern.
90% of the users right now are using mobiles, and mm-hmm. especially the city services are all kaput. I mean, if they don't offer proper mobile.
Yes, that's true.
I think it's a huge usability issue. Mm-hmm. Maybe it could be improved by OpenLayers 4, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Does it have support? Does OpenLayers 4 have a better support for mobile?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And we have to work on this responsive design because it's the elements that you saw that build up an application, they should work different on a desktop application or on mobile, and it should be possible to use one application for different use cases and not to create two applications, one for desktop, one for mobile.
Yeah, overall, the web stack should be, I think, overhauled. I don't know, probably rewritten for mobile. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I mean, it's your plan and how you guys do it, but probably mobile-centric should be the new way to go forward.
That's sure. We should put more focus on that.
Because
you're right.
Because everyone uses mobile these days. I haven't seen many people using laptops or something for,
Yeah, maybe many of the applications are used within the commune or within the geoportal of the city, so it's more for internal uses. But if you want to make a, like a city map or so, which should be used from everyone, then yeah, for sure you should provide a mobile solution as well. So it's a good suggestion, and we should work on that.
And that's what probably the next talk will deal about.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
There's another question.
I think you've kind of answered it already, but I'm still going to ask.
Is the micro on?
I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
MapBender creates a complete portal, a complete application. So if I have my own application or some kind of JavaScript framework application, and I would like to embed some mapping functionality, MapBender wouldn't be the right tool to use, or
If you need only a small map, maybe you should do it directly with an OpenLayers or a Leaflet client that you integrate. It's easy to integrate, but if you want this service repository and maybe a big application, then MapBender may and user management and group management, then maybe MapBender may be your choice.
Mm. And to what kind of size of user base would MapBender scale? So you said it's mainly for internal use, so you would have a user base of maybe two digit numbers of users. So if you really went on the web and had 20,000 users access MapBender, mm-hmm. how far could you scale?
Oh, I don't know the answer, but we have big portals like from the Geoportal Rheinland-Pfalz or Geoportal Hessen. They have many thousand users, but I don't know the exact number, but it should be scalable.
Okay.
Maybe I can give a short answer to that. We have already created the LDAP integration. And with the LDAP integration, it's quite easy to add something like 30,000 users. We already make something like that, because you just have to evaluate if somebody is allowed to take a look at some sources. So it's, but I think it's much better to do something like that over something like LDAP, not over the internal user administration, but it should also be possible. I haven't tested how much user you really can add, and it still works fine, but I don't think that there should be a problem when you don't make it with LDAP and make it with the internal user administration.
I was more thinking about concurrent access. So if you have 30,000 yeah. people accessing MapBender at the same time,
okay.
how far can you scale?
Yeah, do you know? I don't really know, no. But we have big portals. They are running with thousands of concurrent access. So. And the question, because the map normally isn't created by MapBender, it's from the WMS server or something like that. So you have to look at your WMS server more than.
If there's only one WMS server. For example, if they are all using one base layer, let's say the base layer is coming from OpenStreetMap or some other small project. If that server is being hit by, say, let's say 1 million requests, maybe that server will crash, and overall this MapBender might not show a proper map on the background because that server has crashed. Since these guys are just displaying some of the JavaScript elements and probably a little bit of layers, I think it can easily scale if the servers are good enough. Maybe 10,000 to probably 1 million should be basic, I guess. I'm not sure.
But you're also able to do something like log balancing with this framework. It's no problem especially as long as you don't use a spatial light database file.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay.
Any other further questions here? Okay. So
good.
Thank you for your talk.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.